No sorrows there. That's a promise. No more tears. Never cry again. Tears are not allowed in heaven. Death is not allowed in heaven. Oh, the great promises. Why are we not on fire? Why are we not on fire? Greater is he who is in thee than he that's in this stinking world.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome to Love Never Fails. We are currently airing Pastor Bill's in-depth study from the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians. And today, Pastor concludes the message, "In Him, there yes." Now, Pastor Bill.
The Bible says in Colossians 2:9, it says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of it. That's who Jesus is. He's 100% God, 100% man. And listen to me now. And it says, and you the believer, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in him right now. That is your spiritual position in the eyes of Almighty God. Look up that word complete when you get home. You'll find it's a word pleroo or pleroo, however you want to pronounce it in the Greek. And it literally means this, that you are now filled to the brim in your heart with Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? You see, you're full of the Lord, whether you believe it or not. Why don't you believe it? Just do it. I'm full of the Lord. Don't be full of bull. Come on. This is Texas, man. Don't know. You want to be full of the Lord. I'm going, God, what a great word, Lord. Man, those promises are true. And this is a great one too. Ephesians 1:4. I love this one. Just as he, meaning God, chose us. Can you believe that God chose you? It's like I told the early service. I said, if you were walking down the street and I was walking down the street and you passed me by and I passed you by, would I choose you? Would you choose me? Uh-uh. I don't even want to say hello to you. Think about it. Here's the promise. God chose you. And what are those two words? In him. That's Ephesians 1:4. God chose you. How? In him. Another promise from God. In him. When? Before the foundations of the world. Why? That you would be blameless and holy before the Lord. Listen to me. God chose you before the angels and the cherubim and the seraphim and the earth and any of it was made, before the first star or any of the planet, anything, when there was only God, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've heard me teach it that your name is as eternal as God's. You have been in the mind and the heart of God. How can you talk? Eternity. You understand? I mean, you can't go back and put a stick and say this is when it began, or a flag and say, okay, here you are. No, you have to keep going this way again. There's no end. He's the beginning and the ending, the Alpha, the Omega. Amen? Your name. What a promise. Why don't you meditate on that and say, I know when I was chosen. My next door neighbor doesn't like me, but that's okay. I don't care. I'm telling you, God chose me in him. Why? For all the promises of God in him are yes. What a glorious word. I mean, before time even began, loved one. And here's another one, Ephesians 1:7. Here's those two words again. In him, our Lord. In him, we have something. We have redemption. That means to be liberated. It means to be set free. How? It says through his blood. He died on the cross for us. And then the forgiveness of sins. That word forgiveness, remember, it always means to carry them away as far as the east is to the west. How was it all done? It says according to the riches of his grace. What a promise. In him, we've been set free, eternally set free. The Bible says in Hebrews that we have been eternally redeemed. Can't change that. Eternally. Well, maybe I was hoping to make it. If you are truly in Christ, you have been eternally redeemed. Amen? Now, not only that, I look at this and I say, dear Lord, Did you know that outside of Jesus, outside of Christ, there is no redemption? There's no redemption. Jesus didn't step out of eternity and step into time and say, hey, I'm here, but you know what? You're going to have to really work hard. You're going to have to really get it together if you're going to get saved because I didn't come for anything else. No, he came to redeem you. Now, you know, when we go through 2 Corinthians, you're going to find such great scriptures, the promises of God. In the 17. Therefore, if anyone be, here it comes, in him or in Christ Jesus, right? New creation. Old things, where did they go? Passed away. Yes, you still have the same job. You still have your same mother-in-law and father-in-law, whatever, I don't know. But old things have passed away. Satan is no longer your master. Your sins are gone. Far as the east is from the west, old things are gone. All things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21, listen to this other promise. God, he made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Why? That you might become the righteousness of God in Christ or in him. Loved one, these are promises that belong to you that God, your Father, has made, and he cannot lie. And I go, oh, God, you're so good to me. And one of my favorite scriptures that I read often, 1 John 5:14 and 15, where it says this, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, and there's a catch, not just anything, anything according to his will, here's the results. Oh, you're praying something according to my will, and the word of God is my will. He goes, I hear you. And then it says, and we know if he hears us, because we prayed according to his will. We know that we have the petitions that we ask. What a glorious promise. You know, I encourage you to read later on tonight, 1 John chapter 5, go down to verse 20, and where you find these words, we are in him who is true, the true and living God. Loved one, we really are in him. These are all these blessed promises given to us, and it gets better. Look at verse 21 now. It says, now he who establishes us with you in him or in Christ and has anointed us is God, or really, or literally, the Holy Spirit. Number one, you've been established. Paul's saying the same thing. He was established, now we're established, meaning that we can stand firm, immovable in our faith. Why? We have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of our heart. We don't have to stand firm in our own strength. We have the divine helper, amen? Oh, he's alongside us. He's in us. He's upon us. And you know what? He helps us. We stand in his strength. So we don't have to stand alone. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So we've been established with Christ. Now look at the next one. And we've also been anointed. I love that. Established you in Christ and has anointed us. Now listen, the word Christ in the Greek, of course, is Christos, okay? And then where it says, for it says Christ. And then the word anointed in the Greek is chiro. And that word, if you say it in English, here's how it would go. It would read, the anointed one, Christ, okay, the anointed one, singular, and his anointed ones, plural. I love that. What an incredible play on words. Every believer has been established by the Holy Spirit, whether you know it or not, and every believer has been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:20, it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And we know who the Holy One is. It's Jesus Christ. Now, then it says in verse 27 of 1 John 2, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides, or literally remains in you forever, so that you, it says, do not need anyone to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Now, does that mean that you don't need to be in church anymore? That means that you don't need a pastor or a teacher? No, of course not. The people take that verse out of context. They should never do that. No, loved one, listen to me. It means this, that when you have been anointed by the Spirit of God, you now, as a believer, have the greatest teacher in all of the universe abiding and living in you. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you into all truth. Why? John 14:17. He is the Spirit of truth. He illuminates, again, every page, every word. He wants to grow you up into Christ's likeness. That's his goal. He wants to change you from glory to glory to glory. He wants you to walk in love because it's been poured out in your heart. He doesn't want you to hide love or imprison his love. He wants to let it out. Amen? No. Oh, listen. He'll never lead you astray. He'll never deceive you. Why? He is the Spirit of truth. And every believer has been anointed by the Spirit of God. So what is the purpose of that? Well, the purpose of that is to fulfill our ministry. We have a purpose. What was the last words of Jesus to the disciples before they went into the upper room? He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to what? Come upon you? You're going to be endued with power. Why? So that you will be my witnesses to the uttermost ends of the earth. See, that is our purpose. Jesus' mission, he came to seek and save the lost, has now been transferred to us, the church. Amen? He's the head. We're his body. We need to get in line and do what he said to do. Now, with all that being said, it says in verse 22, here comes the next one. I love it. Who has also sealed us, given us the Spirit, or the gift of the Holy Spirit, where? In our hearts. Why? As a guarantee. Man, listen. Is that great? You have been established, you have been anointed, and you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Where? Right there. Romans 5:5. And this hope does not disappoint. Amen. It says, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. You have all the love you need living right here in you. Amen. Yeah, that's why his Spirit bears witness with our spirit, where we cry out, Abba, Father, Dad. We are indeed sons and daughters of the living God. What a glorious promise that we have, loved one. And listen, where it says he has sealed you, we know the seal speaks of protection, but it's actually ownership. No one can break the seal of God. God knows who they're his. Amen? But it means literally first installment, the first down payment, the pledge, if you will, and the engagement ring, whatever word you want to use, of future things to come. Let me give you the scripture. It's a foretaste, if you will. Romans 8:23. Paul writes, and not only that, but we also have the first fruits. That's that foretaste of the glory that we're going to experience when we finally get home. Now, we have a down payment right now, just a little bit of heaven. But one day we're going to be home. And he says, that foretaste of the Spirit, where even we ourselves, oh, we groan within ourselves. Why? We're eagerly waiting for the adoption. What adoption? We've already been adopted. No, the redemption of the body, meaning we're going to get a brand new body. Amen? What a glorious day that's going to be. Ephesians 1:13, listen, in him, there's that word again, in him you also trusted, meaning the day you came to Christ. And the reason? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, here it comes, you were, past tense, present reality, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until, or who is the guarantee, that down payment, that first installment, who is the guarantee, here it is, of our inheritance. And then it tells us how long. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's us, to the praise of his glory. We have been eternally sealed by the Spirit of God. If there's no way it'll ever be broken unless there is someone stronger than Almighty God, and let me tell you, there isn't. Amen? Matter of fact, God is so sure of this in his word, he tells us in, what is it? Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't make him sad. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, by which you are sealed until the day of redemption, the day we go home. See, if you're not a believer, the Bible says in Romans 8:9, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not a believer. You're not in Christ. You have to have the Spirit. Look at verse 23. Now, Paul writes again. He says, moreover, I call God as a witness against my soul, that to spare you, I didn't come to Corinth. I didn't come there at all. This is an incredible word from a loving pastor. Look what Paul says. He says, listen, I'm calling God right now. My Father is a witness. And he says, you Corinthians, you need to hear this. I'm taking an oath. Let God judge me against, look what it says, against my own soul. What does that mean? Paul says, I am staking my life on what I just told you. He said, listen, I didn't come. You know why I didn't come to Corinth? Because I wanted to spare you. I didn't want to hurt you. You're messed up. You wouldn't listen to me. You're not doing the things I ask you to do. In 1 Corinthians is basically what he's saying. Matter of fact, he's really saying you're more messed up now than you were in 1 Corinthians. He says, I can't come to you. I love you. I don't want to use my apostolic authority. He says, I will come, but not right now. I'm not fickle. Paul says, I'm in love with you. And he says, not that we have dominion or the rule over your faith. Hey, we're fellow workers. Why? For your joy. For by faith you stand. He said, I'm not the Lord over you guys. But you know what? Those false teachers that are in your congregation that are destroying your faith, you don't have any faith left, man. He said, but I'm not the Lord. I'm not a spiritual dictator. I want to come and bring joy to you. I don't want to bring pain to you. I want to lift you up. I don't want to tear you down. I'm a fellow worker, Paul says, right along with you guys. He says, listen, I'm not the Lord over your faith. You've been given a measure of faith, and yet by that faith, they stand and we stand. Amen? He says, I'm not the Lord over your faith. And you know what? Don't live off anybody else's faith. Live off the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2. Amen? That's what we need to do quickly. I'm about winding up. Just hold on. But I determined this within myself that I would not come again to you in sorrow. I don't want another painful visit. For if I make you sad, if I make you sorrowful, if I'm going to make you weep, in other words, well, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful by me? In other words, if I come, here I come, I'm Paul, and you're the congregation of Corinth, and I come up here to the pulpit, and everybody starts weeping. Oh, God, Paul is here. Well, if everybody's out there crying, who's going to cheer me up? That's what Paul is saying. He said, no, listen. Let's close out with one scripture. I want you to go back to verse 20 and look at it carefully one more time with me, please. Meditate on this today. For how many of the promises? For all of the promises. Not just anyone again, but God Almighty. For all of the promises of God in Him. Oh, in our Lord. In Him are yes, and in Him amen to the glory of God through us. Did you know? I want you to note something. Look at the range of God's promises. Was it 50%? 75%. Every promise. Do you understand? The things that come out of God's mouth will never return void. Do you understand? He is God. He is our Father. He's the creator of everything. He says every promise is yes in Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I look at that. God's first promise, Genesis, what, 3:15, there in the garden, all the way to the end, to the book of Revelation. That next, what is it, the last promise? What did Jesus say himself? Surely, I come quickly. He is coming. He may come tonight. That's another promise. You don't know the day. I don't know the hour, but he's coming. He promised he's coming. He's not delaying the promise of his coming. He's coming. Oh, I look and I say, oh, God. You go through the Word of God, and you know what you're going to find? Are you a sinner? There's promises to the sinner. Jesus said, what did he say? He's a friend to sinners and tax collectors. You need to be restored. There's a promise. He'll restore you. Do you need to be forgiven? Yes, it's right there. Everything is in God's Word. Are you backslidden? Oh, there's promises to the backslidden. God says, turn. Why would you not come back to me? Come back to me. Don't slide away from me. You come back to me. Are you hopeless? There are promises for the hopeless. Oh, man. I mean, are you sick and you suffering? There's promises. Are you young? Are you old? Are you middle-aged? There are promises. And they all belong to you. And they are all, yes, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But I'm weak. There's a promise for that. But I'm lonely. There's a promise for that. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never relax my hold on you. In the Greek, it's emphatic three times. I will never relax my hold upon you. So you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That is a promise to you from God. Do you believe it? See, if you don't get into your heart and you'll stand on it. God loves you so much. He said, I gave you all of my promises, and they're all true. Every one of them. Are you brokenhearted? The Bible said he's near to the brokenhearted. But I'm going to die. Oh, great scriptures on death. Here we go. We're getting ready to die. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the death, I'm going to tremble in what? Oh, I'm not afraid. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isaiah cries out, or maybe it was a psalmist, I don't really know. But I do know, I can't remember. The cheese is sliding off. Second service always happens. I am your guide, God says, even unto death. Oh, but I'm about to close my eyes. Oh, don't worry. Psalm 116, remember what it says. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Listen, precious. Whenever that's going to happen, God says, oh, that's precious to me. Your bill, you are precious. It's precious to me. I've never used that word in a funeral, but God says, my son, my daughter, precious in my sight is the death of my saints. He sees, he knows, he cares, he's there. It's a promise. I say, oh God, you are so good. Are you afraid? There's 365 fear nots in the Bible. Do you need joy? Go to the promise. Do you need peace? Go to the promise. Are you worried about heaven? It's yours. It's yours. He's already made a city for you. He's there right now. He's going to come again and receive you unto himself, that where he is, you may be also. Loved one, listen. No sorrows there. That's a promise. No more tears. Never cry again. Tears are not allowed in heaven. Death is not allowed in heaven. Oh, the great promises. Why are we not on fire? Why are we not on fire? Greater is he who is in thee than he that's in this stinking world. Oh, loved one, listen. I'm telling you, the promises belong to you. All the promises. God says, I will keep everyone in him. They're all yes. Listen to me. How stable are the promises of God? How stable are they? I mean, think about that. It says they're all in him, Jesus. As long as Jesus Christ is living, as long as he is alive, not one dot, the dotting of an I, or the tittle, the crossing of a T, will fail. And Jesus dieth to never die again. He is he who liveth forever. Amen. Oh, listen, the word of God, they're all so stable. I'm so thankful. But there's also other promises about the judgment to those that are outside of Christ. The horrible word called hell. What a horrible word. It says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, not man. No man has to go there unless they just, I don't want Jesus. I don't want anything to do with him. You know what? Jesus gave us great promise. My last scripture, and we're going to go to Luby's. Amen. John 10:7. What did Jesus say? He used that word amen and amen again. It's of a certainty. It's infallible. It can never be changed. Most assuredly, that's amen and amen. Jesus said, I say unto you. Do you not know Jesus Christ? Listen to me carefully. He says, I say to you. Jesus says, this is a promise. I am. That word I am means I am that I am that I am. I am the door to the sheep. I is emphatic in the Greek, meaning there ain't no more doors. There's only one. There's only one. Jesus said, I am the only door. There is no other way. I am the only way, the only truth, the only life. I am the only name given unto man under heaven by which they must be saved. There is no other except Jesus. In Jesus, all of God's promises are yes, and again yes, and amen, forever and ever.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with more from his 2 Corinthians study, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Thank you for listening today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.